Lecture 15, Why Farming?
In the last lecture, we discussed the origins of agriculture in southwestern Asia, and we looked at some of the archaeological evidence for it, very incomplete but tantalizing, which suggests that agriculture began some 10,000 years before Christ. This lecture ranges rather widely. We look at a variety of topics. We examine the causes and some of the consequences of this change from hunting and gathering to food production. First, I'm going to explore some of the major theories surrounding the beginning of agriculture, also some of the major factors that contributed to the changeover. In the second part of the lecture, I'm going to discuss some of the consequences of food production for human society and human history. And then finally, we're going to start what is, in the next few lectures, a fairly extensive bit of traveling, and we're going to examine the evidence for early farming in other parts of southwestern Asia and in the Nile Valley. So we're going to range rather widely here. Time frame, about 10,000 BC to about 6,000 BC, 4,000 years or so, but a very important 4,000 years in human history. What then about the theories of agriculture? Why did people make this change? We made a great play in the earlier lecture of the Younger Dryas, this thousand-year period of near-glacial climate in northern Europe, which brought drought to the Near East. But is, in fact, drought the primary cause of agriculture? No. It's one of the factors involved. In the late 19th century, the first speculations about the origins of food production centered on the notion of a solitary genius who invented agriculture, who had, as it were, an aha moment, saw some plants germinating and thought, ah, I can do that, planted some seeds, and presto, there was agriculture. People soon realized that this was nonsense. They realized that all hunter-gatherers know that when plants germinate and grow, it's part of the natural process of nature. They had an intimate knowledge of botany, not of Latin names, but of the uses of plants and their seasons. So it was realized pretty early on that farming began as part of a much more complex process that unfolded over many generations. And modern theories of the origins of food production focus very much on these processes, the mechanisms by which it happened. The best known of the early theories was that of an Australian-born prehistorian of great brilliance who spent most of his life in Britain. His name, Vere Gordon Child. He believed, and he was a fluent popular writer who was widely quoted in the world histories that were so popular some years ago, he believed that there were two major revolutions in human prehistory. The first was an agricultural revolution. The second was an urban revolution, kind of like the Industrial Revolution of the 18th century AD. Child's agricultural revolution, he said, was a major economic shift which took place in southwestern Asia during a period of prolonged drought after the Ice Age. This drought, he said, caused a symbiosis, a coming together of potentially domesticable animals and plants and humans in the few surviving oases, like the Jordan Valley and the Nile Valley. And this in turn led to domestication and economies based on more reliable food supplies. Child's agricultural revolution captured the popular imagination, and you still see it popping up from time to time in the literature. But in reality, it was much too simple a formulation. Modern theories are based on the notion that people are generally culturally receptive to new ways of obtaining food. Why? It makes life easier.